Thank you. It is good to be with you here in Mifflinburg. One of the things on my bucket list was to come to Mifflinburg, serious, and meet one of Fred Pick's family. I met a daughter here this morning. And to meet someone who hunted in the woods with Fred Pick and my father-in-law, Reverend Lloyd Gordon. And I met a guy that hunted in the woods and told me a quick story, which was another thing on my bucket list, to learn something about my father-in-law that I could use posthumously. Is that how you say that? After he'd gone to heaven. It really is good to be with you. We had a lovely trip up. Our youngest son is a pastor at Harrisburg, Bethany Church of the Nazarene, and we're going to leave here tomorrow morning. I say that because I'm not driving these back roads at night. They're wonderful roads, but when you become my age, it's hard to see. I'm also going to present to your pastor a plan for, they've got a new system out, Pastor, that it runs on rails, but you can push a button here at the pulpit and pews will just keep moving up closer. So we're going to share that with him later today. Good to be with you. I have had the privilege of traveling a lot of places. And I trust that you'll come back tonight. On the table in the foyer, you will see some items from around the world that some of you are going to be able to take home with you. And so when you come back tonight, you're going to receive a popsicle stick. Hang on to it. It's important. And we want you to write your name on a small slip of paper, and that'll be placed in a bowl. And 10 or 12 of you, if your names are called, are going to have opportunities to select one of those items and take them. Rare, rare gifts from around the world. You want to take them home, put them on your mantle, and tell everybody just how you got them. Before our Christ ascended into heaven, he gave us a commission. Not a suggestion, but a command. And he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teaching them all things that I have commanded you. Excuse me. And then these words, lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 9. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 9. To the Jews, this is one of the most important passages in all of God's Word, maybe the most important passage. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Have you ever wondered, as I do, why we're so preoccupied with appearance? I had a daughter, she's now over 40, has two beautiful children, lives in Mooresville, not too far from us. And when she was attending high school, I clocked her. It took her 1.5 hours to get ready for school. She'd come out to breakfast, and I'd look at her, and I remember saying several times, Jennifer, what takes you so long? By the way, 1 hour of that time was spent on her hair. And it looked to me like she'd been in a wind tunnel. I should have brought pictures, just this frizzy mess. And I'd say, I don't understand what takes you so long in your hair. Look at it. Bad. It's the style. I'm amazed that even with the little ones, we see how important appearance is. Before we left Mooresville, North Carolina, where we live, that same daughter came over. She said, Dad, I got a few bags. Put them in your trunk. I had to ask the neighbor to help me get the one bag out of her trunk into my trunk. Clothes that her daughter's handing down to Emma, Jamie's daughter in Harrisburg. And then she said, now be sure you tell Emma that there are two Christmas dresses in that bag. Monday, when we get to Harrisburg, and I'll say to Heather, Jamie's wife, I have 3 bags in the trunk, one of which is huge. She always gives me the time to bring them in because Emma goes wild. She'll take everything out of the bag. She'll place it on the floor. She'll match the stuff. She'll run in the room. And we have a fashion show. This time it's going to last for hours. We start at an early age and we're preoccupied with how we look. Get all ready to leave the house and, oh man, there's a, what do they call that hair sticking up? Cowlick. You know, and Mama used to do this to get that cowlick in. Now we go, psst, with hairspray. Yes, I occasionally use some hairspray, Reverend Krell. I'm looking right at you. Because he's going to report that to somebody and use it in a negative way at some district meeting, I can tell.
That's nothing compared to what I've
heard. Hey. I've got good news for you this morning. Our God is more concerned with what's on the inside than how we look on the outside. Aren't you glad? When I'm behind the pulpit, I almost always have on a suit and tie. You say, why do you do that? Because my dad would mow the lawn in a shirt and tie. I very seldom saw him not dressed formally, as I call it, like this. Let me say this. I don't care how you come to church, as long as you're dressed. I would say to my people, I want you in church. But I come from the old school where my dad pounded into my head, if you stand behind that pulpit, dress up. I've tried to pound it into my son's heads. Moving on. God is concerned about our hearts. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning on a heart for missions, or the true measure of the heart. If we're going to be concerned with following the Great Commission, which is a command, I want to tell you this morning, according to God's word, that starts deep down within our hearts. It's not a system, it's not a plan that comes from our heads, it comes from our heart. Our concern to win the lost, our concern to share the good news of the gospel here and around the world comes from a deep desire within our hearts that God has placed there from the very beginning of creation. Can you imagine me standing before God one day? By the way, we all will one day. And I'm trying to share with him why, in fact, I should be there. So I start by saying, you know, God, I've prepared myself all my life to serve you. I've been to school for over 23 years. I've served you in nearly 2 decades of ministry. In your name, I've married them and I've buried them. I've counseled them, sometimes helped them put their lives back together, and sometimes even helped them put their homes and marriages back together. I've even helped to birth some babies, spiritually speaking, into the kingdom. I've always tried to build people up in their faith. And God will say to me, well, you know, that's fine. But really, what I want to know is, I want to know more about your heart. But God, I've worked hard. Can't you see all that I've done for you and the kingdom? And God says, well, I care about those things. I really do. But what's more important to me is your heart. How's your heart? What imprint is God looking for in our hearts? What measurement does he use for judging our hearts? The scripture, the passage we just shared, said, the Lord our God is the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is called the Shema. It comes from the first word in that text that says, hear, hear, O Israel. The Lord your God is the Lord alone. Once when Jesus was asked to share the greatest of the commandments, he shared this particular passage. Only he changed the, the last word of all your mind, he said, in all your mind instead of all your strength. The first measure of the heart is that of commitment. I can remember a few years ago when the Marine slogan was, Uncle Sam's looking for a few good men. You remember that? Well, God's looking for more than a few good hearts. How do you express commitment to God? How do you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? We express that love to God through obedience to his will. Got to remember that Moses, prior to sharing this particular passage, had just received the Ten Commandments. And he'd come down and share those with the people and said, this is our lifestyle. This is how we honor God. In fact, this is how we prove we love God, by obedience to these commandments. By the way, the Ten Commandments are still in force today. Amen? Not too many years ago, we were in a municipal court building in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We were there for our son and daughter-in-law. They're adopting their second child. And on the wall were the Ten Commandments. The judge in a municipal court building in Harrisburg said, after going through the official responsibilities of a judge and signing the papers, he said, is there anybody that wants to say anything? I felt I was off the ground on my feet. Anybody want to say anything or pray? Were the words from the judge. And he told us, he said, birth is a miracle, but this adoption is a greater miracle. In the municipal court building in Harrisburg, I keep saying that because we hear so much negative about other municipal court buildings. Aren't you glad to live at least close to a place where some good things are happening and the word of the Lord is still obvious? How do we express that love? By being obedient. I try to every day tell my wife I love her. And I ask her, if she doesn't say it to me, if she loves me. You know I do. And then usually, before the day's over, we'll say to one another, I like you a lot. And the older I get, the more I like her. One of Reverend Pick's daughters, who I met earlier, said to my wife, Cheryl, you haven't changed a bit. When I say that to her, she says, oh, stop it. We'll talk about that later. How do you express your love to God? By telling him, I love you. Singing these songs this morning, my heart was moved. Count your blessings. If I started today on I don't know how many sheets of paper, a ream, I could fill them all with the blessings God has given me and shown me over a lifetime. How do we express our commitment and love to God? Tell him. Tell him repeatedly, every moment of every day. Let him know how much you love him. It's important that we say that. Notice, secondly, a measure of the heart is consistency. If there's one thing we need in our lives today, it is consistency. I grew up in a home where we had to have family altar every morning. And back in those days, we used the coming apart. I think now it's reflecting God. My dad would get my sister and I, he'd sit us down, and he would read the whole text, not just the verse for the day. Then he would read the meditation. Then he would read the thought for the day several times in hopes that we would memorize the thought for the day. Can you remember those days when what I'm talking about? Can you hear me? Wave your hands if you can hear me. Okay. We are going to get that mechanical device and move these pews closer to the front. I'll pay for half of it. They taught me how important it was in a consistent way to pray. My dad would pray, my mom would pray, my sister and I would have to pray. And my sister's prayers and my prayers were very short because I could hear the brakes on the bus out front squealing to a stop. Invariably, I'd be running out of the house. Thank goodness for the girl next door who told them to wait. I'm on the way. I have a beautiful picture in my mind of my parents every night. One on this side of the bed, one on this side of the bed praying. For me, my sister, in later years, our children, now grandchildren. Beautiful picture of them praying. They were consistent in their prayer life. They were consistent in their devotional life. They were consistent in giving. They taught us the importance of tithe. My wife and I have tithed ever since we've been married, and I started before that, and I'm sure she did. Before I left to come to Mifflinburg, I put my tithe in an envelope and mailed it to church. Consistency. Let me just throw this out. Do you know if everybody that attended this church tithed, members and friends, tithed 10%? I don't care if it's gross or what's the other one. What?
Net.
I thought you said debt. Turn this thing up a little. Okay. me say, if we tithe, everybody that attended this particular local church, members and friends, 10%. I don't care. You use net or gross. You couldn't spend the money. And if every Christian church that believed that God sent his son to be our Savior would do that around the world, there would not be hunger anyplace. There would not be sickness like we see it. It would be amazing. Isn't that incredible? Well, I think I read this in the book earlier, Pastor. Not today, but I've read it in the book earlier. My folks taught us to be generous. On the way up here, my wife said, "What are you doing?" I put a $10 bill down. I took a card. I wrote a note to the cleaning lady. "Thank you for making our room so clean and fresh. Happy Thanksgiving." I don't do that as much as I should. Then we went downstairs to eat. In our, on our fixed income, we choose motels that serve hot breakfast. Amen? And before we left, I called the little lady over that we've seen there before, and I put a $5 bill in her hand. I said, "Have a happy Thanksgiving." She lit up like a Christmas tree. Everybody else was rushing in and out with their coffee and stuff, and I don't think anybody tipped her. My folks taught us to be generous. It's important. They also taught us to be a friend and to have friends. So important in a consistent life. So good to see Wendell Lahr here this morning. He was a friend to me when I needed a friend, desperately. And I hope we still are friends. So good to see him. My folks taught my sister and I, it's important to be a friend. We're never too busy to be a friend. One of the measures of the heart is consistency in our prayer life, in our devotional life, in our study of God's word, in our church attendance, in our giving, in being a friend. And it can be such small gestures that become so meaningful to those around us. Another measurement of the heart is conversation. The scripture said, talk about these commandments when you sit down at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. That's pretty much a day. Pretty much covers 24 hours in a day. Talk about how good God has been to you. Talk about your concerns and that you're putting your faith and trust solely in him. I've been praying a prayer, and I just did it this last week when Cheryl and I made a call on a fellow in the hospital that had just had a hip replacement. Before we left, I had his wife and son was there. Cheryl and I joined hands with Jack. In the close of my prayer, I said, "May all things work together for good in our lives collectively, because we five put our faith and trust in you, Heavenly Father, right now." Our conversation. Let me share some. An oxymoron. You know what an oxymoron is? It's a self-contradictory word or expression, a combination that just can't be. For example, jumbo shrimp. Jumbo shrimp. Legal ethics. Freezer burn. That one bothers me. Freezer burn. Old news. Isn't old news history? I don't know. A working vacation. I've had to leave from several vacations to come home to do pastoral ministry. A working vacation. Vaguely aware. Let's just say that tomorrow, your pastor, what a good man, gets stopped on the highway by a state trooper. And the trooper, who happens to know him personally, says, "Reverend Crowell, did you notice the speed limit on that sign you just flew by?" And your good pastor, God bless him, would say, "Well, I was vaguely aware of that sign." Pretty ugly. Just coincidence, Pastor. That was just coincidence. Pretty ugly. Saw a dog 2 weeks ago that I thought was pretty ugly. Was it pretty or was it ugly? Well, it was pretty ugly. Half asleep, my wife will say, "Honey, did you hear what I just said to you?" Not quite in that tone. And I'll say, oh, I was half asleep. Well, were you asleep or not? Here's one that's more serious. silent disciple. Oxymoron, self-contradictory word or expression. Silent disciple. A disciple is one who follows the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who said, "If you follow me, you will go and share your faith, and it will be such that the whole world can know." All of us together sharing our faith. Now, that's evangelism. We cannot be a silent disciple. Preacher, I'm shy. I'm sure a lot of us are. But that's not an excuse to be a silent disciple. If we have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, it is our God-given responsibility. It is our privilege to speak up and to speak out for him. Impossible to be a silent disciple. Another measurement of the heart, and the last one I shared this morning, is that of confession. Verses 8 and 9 say, excuse me, "Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and gates." Now, you know what the Jews did? They looked at those few sentences very legalistically and very realistically. Legalistically, try to say those three times twice. And so they went ahead and they made little leather boxes that they put straps on their wrist, and little leather boxes, the strap around their forehead. And in those boxes, they had the words of this particular passage of Scripture, the Shema. And they wore those, especially when they were praying. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't really believe that's what God meant. Put the Shema on papyrus in little boxes and tie them on your wrist and your forehead. And then they put them on larger papyrus and put them in they were called phylacteries, and they put them in larger cylinders on their doorposts. They were called mezuzahs. They took it very legalistically. I really don't believe that's what God meant. I believe he meant to say, if you love me, if you're consistent in your life, if you're not afraid to talk about who I am and what I've done in your life, it ought to be so obvious to people, it would be as if you had it printed across your forehead or written on your arms, or some way to do it on the doorposts and frames of your homes. I really don't believe he meant for them to do what they did. We need to be so in love with God and our lives to be so consistent and our conversations so true and meaningful that it's obvious to people who we are. We serve a risen Savior. I love that song. He's in the world today. How do I know? He's in my heart. My heart, that place where God and I meet and converse, where I get my marching orders, where I convey my love and appreciation to him. The story is told of Charlie Chaplin. He was in Monte Carlo. He was out one night just walking to get some fresh air, and he saw a billboard on a casino that said, "Tomorrow, Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest." So he thought, well, I'll come back tomorrow. I'll enter that contest just for fun. He did. True story. He came in third place. Serious. Charlie Chaplin enters the Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest, and he comes in third place. Unbelievable. I laugh every time I tell or retell that story. But here's something a little more serious. We call ourselves Christians. We bear the name of Christ. What place are we coming in? What place are we coming in? People in our everyday, workaday life, do they know who we are? Do they know that we're Christians? Do they hear us talk about spiritual things? Do they see in our life a consistency that goes beyond what the world would display with its up and down emotions? What place would we come in? We bear the name of Christ. We need to live in such a way that it's obvious. It's been a privilege for me to serve with the Lausanne Committee. One day, Roger Peart, one of the sons of Dr. Roger Peart, called me and he said, "I'd like you to come work for me. I can't promise for more than a year, but I want you to come and help me raise money for a Lausanne Congress." Dr. Billy Graham started the Lausanne Committee when he was in Lausanne, Switzerland. And it's the whole church taking the whole gospel to the whole world. At the Lausanne Congress in Manila, there were over 170 nations, individual nations represented. And I was privileged to be a part of that. One of the speakers, his name was Mai Chen. He had been imprisoned in China for over 20 years. He came to the podium to speak, and a hush fell over that audience. There were people up in glassed-in booths that were on, interpreters, so that everybody could hear and understand what was happening. He came to the podium, and his English was very broken, and his speech was broken because he had been tortured so. He had been the pastor of several house churches in China. The communist government got a hold of the leaders, especially of these Christian churches, and their goal, their role at this prison camp was to break him. They wanted him to renounce his faith, because if he, the leader of some of these house churches, renounced his faith, then those in the church that were following would say, well, if he's given up, why should we try to hang on? So he, with purpose, went through some horrendous torture. Horrendous torture. He told us about it that day, and it was, he even cut pieces of his tongue out so that it affected his speech. Then he told this phenomenal story. He said there was in the middle of the camp a cesspool, 2 meters deep, and all of the human waste was thrown in that cesspool every day for a week. On Saturday, they forced me to go to the cesspool, and he said, I had to get down in it. The stench was so strong, it took his breath away. He said, I had to get down in that cesspool, shovel it out into wheelbarrows, and take it out into the field for fertilizer. He said, when he first started, he threw up. It was such a foul place. But then he realized that nobody would bother him there. The prisoners were under tremendous surveillance, and where two or three gathered, they were broken up by the guards. But out there, the guards certainly weren't going to bother him. So he said, I began to realize that I could pray, I could sing, I could quote scripture. Nobody would bother me. And he said, even though the conditions were foul, beyond foul, they were extreme, he said, I realized I could get alone with God. Then he said, I sang a hymn, and in broken English, I think it was half English, half Mandarin, he sang this song. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I don't know about you, but that man was truly a Christian. I could see as he sang that song and listened to his testimony that his heart measured up when it came to commitment. I could see that his heart measured up when it came to consistency that goes way beyond what we even think might be expected of us. And I heard someone say, living in this great country, and it still is, there's some foolish things that have happened, but folks, this still is a great, great place to live. I can see that his heart measured up with conversation. And I could see that his heart measured up with confession that almost affected his life. This morning, mission starts here. Right here, in our hearts. How does your heart measure up this morning? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the way that you speak to us through your word. And I thank you for the way that through your precious Holy Spirit, you speak to us clearly. And if we're listening, if we're seeking every day, we can have that sweet presence of yourself in our lives. I thank you for Mai Chen. Thank you for his powerful testimony. Lord, I thank you for the commission that you've given us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We may not get into all the world, but we have ability to get others there. We have ability to pray, to live consistent lives. In our conversation, to let people know how much we love you. And in our confession, we will, if it means our life, never ever give up on you, because you've shown us there is nothing that can separate us from your love. Thank you again for these people, this place, and may our desire in our heart of hearts be that to share your love with anyone and everyone, anytime. In thy precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please come back tonight. I'm going to come right down there. I may not even wear a tie, Pastor. Is that all right? Some fun stuff we're going to do tonight, but we're going to close with something that is just phenomenal. You won't want to miss it. Okay? Thank you.